Well, I'm not sure what to do on the show today. I guess I'll just make something up. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, I'll just take a page out of the old playbook from Adam. Oh my gosh, can't believe I'm talking about this guy. Adam Schiff. Why even bother talking about this guy? This guy needs help. This guy needs counseling. He's got an issue. He's got problems. He's got a mental disorder. He has a mental disorder. He is literally, he's just deranged. The guy is deranged. I don't know what else to say about the guy. Is there something wrong with him? This is not the first time he's done this, by the way. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He's doing all of this on purpose. And again, he is the epitome of the end justifies the means. He is the epitome of that. Because he thinks he is holier than thou. He has a righteous cause to rid the country of Trump and Trumpsters. It is his civil duty to do so because it is, in the end, it is the right thing to do. But in the end, I have this hot peach tea here. Why is there a bubble in my cup? Tea is not normally bubbling. There's like a little, I don't think it's soap. I hope that it's not. I don't know what that is. Anyway, I have peach tea, hot peach tea. I am in the headquarters of the world according to me, the news according to me, headquarters, main studio here. And I have my little trusty little fuzzy friends with me today. So maybe one of them will, the Australian Shepherd has a tendency to want to dig a hole to China. When I'm in my office here. We'll see if that happens. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. We'll find out. And I have a Beauceron. If you don't know what a Beauceron is, I would invite you to look up what a Beauceron is. B-E-A-U-C-E-R-O-N. Beauceron. They're a French breed. But this one doesn't speak French. Doesn't even have a French accent. He's all American. He was a rescue, and I almost get choked up every time I talk about his situation and what he came out of. So, it's been an emotional day as it is, so I'm probably not going to even talk about what he went through in the beginning of his life. And I'm not going to talk about why it's an emotional day, because that too will choke me up too much. So I'm just going to go on with the show. What we have here is a pathological liar. This guy he's psychotic. Okay, he's got issues. Adam Schiff made up a bunch of stuff back in the day about what was it he talked about? He talked about, I think it was the Donald Trump emails, Donald Trump Jr. emails, I guess. The whole Trump-Russia thing, the whole thing that was based on the initial impeachment of the president, of President Trump. That whole thing about Ukraine, his conversation with Ukraine. He said, now see, this is how it's going to go, see? I mean, he talked like a mobster, somebody from Dick Tracy. Or the Untouchables or something. See, coppers, here's how it's going to go, see? Oh, that's how he talked. He read his own version of the communication between, we have the transcript of the conversation, but he read his own version of the transcript. This is how the conversation went. This was the essence of the conversation. And he put all kinds of stuff in there. Read it into the record, into the committee's hearing on this thing as if it was fact. And he knows what he's doing. And what I'm saying by that is he knows this is going into the congressional record, and he knows it will be there forever. Well, as long as the United States stands. And he knows that. So now he puts into the congressional record this other bunch of baloney. Let me play you, I was going to play you what he has to say here. And it's actually incorrect. And he's getting caught for doing this now. Now, there's a reason why he has these texts. We'll get into that as well. But also, of course, you know, just the way he is. Let's see if I can pull this up.
I want to display just a few of the message he received from people
message.
In Congress. The committee is not naming these lawmakers at this time, as our investigation is ongoing. If we could cue the first graphic. This one reads, on January 6, 2021, Vice President Mike Pence, as President of the Senate, should call out all electoral votes that he believes are unconstitutional as no electoral votes at all. You can see why this is so critical to ask Mr. Meadows about a lawmaker suggesting that the former vice president simply throw out votes that he unilaterally deems unconstitutional in order to overturn a presidential election and subvert the will of the American people.
Okay, that's what he's you know, he was in a Zoom call or something, I guess, in this thing. He says this is what he says the text says. On January 6, 2021, Vice President Mike Pence, as President of the Senate, should call out, and this is, he doesn't give the names of these people, but we know who it is. This is between Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows was an advisor to the president. I think he was chief of staff at that time. And Jim Jordan was, of course, a congressional Republican. So here we have these guys supposedly talking to each other. I don't know which one was saying it to whom. It sounds kind of like Jordan saying it to Mark Meadows. Now, even if he said this like this, if Jim Jordan said this to Mark Meadows, if I would say to you, you know what, on January 6, 2021, Pence should, as Vice President of the Senate, he should call out all electoral votes that he believes are unconstitutional as no electoral votes at all. What did I just do? When someone says you should or someone else should call out all electoral votes as no electoral votes at all. What have I just done? Is that an insurrection? Is that did I just do something that caused something to avert the election? Does Vice President Mike Pence have to obey anything that Mark Meadows says or that Jim Jordan says? See, they're not just going after Mike Pence. They're not just going after Trump here. They're going after anybody who has any inkling of anything that they can tweak or twist into and word craft into whatever they want it to say. Sorry for the little ding there. Got an email. Didn't have my thing turned back off. There we go. So this is where this has come from. Now, here's what is really, in my opinion, this is just downright dastardly and crazy and setting a precedent. Now, I don't know that the Republicans will ever get away with doing or ever do something like this or not. This congressional committee, this January 6th committee, is going after, the reason he got these texts is because they went after Mark Meadows' phone. They subpoenaed his phone to get all of his text messages. Now, can you imagine the Congress getting a hold of your phone, going through all of your texts, and possibly tweaking them a little bit because they want to railroad you into some kind of crime. This is like, we're going to impound your car and we're going to go through it. If we find a hair from this victim that we think that you have something to do with, we find a single strand of hair from that person in the trunk of your car. I don't know how they got there. Well, we found it and now you're guilty. Did you possibly have any access to that other person's hair that you could have actually planted that hair in my car? We would never do that. We are fine, upstanding people. We would never do that. We would never frame anybody. Certainly not. I'm sure that's never happened before. There are actually people in prison right now claiming that that happened. And there are people who have gotten out of prison because it did happen. And they were able to prove that it happened. Now, we have this sociopath, I'm going to call him, who is on a power trip trying to make a name for himself. Who, you know, I'm not asking for Congress to impeach Adam Schiff. I'm not asking for that. I'm not asking for them to censure him, because that's baloney. And everybody looks at that and goes, oh, they're going to censure him. What does that mean? What has that done to him? I'm censured. They can censure me all day long. I don't care. I don't know what that means. What does it have to do with anything? And if they impeach him, I said Congress impeached Trump, and they make a big deal out of that. We impeached him. He's impeached forever. Okay, well, he still served out his term. He never changed anything he could do or couldn't do. Can you imagine if they would have had the Senate? If they would have had the Senate that they have right now, that he would have been impeached. Especially with Romney in there. Romney and, what's her name? Cheney. He'd been gone. They'd have impeached him and forced him into resigning. Can you imagine what that would have triggered in this nation? Nothing but a kangaroo court. And that's what we have in this January 6th thing is just like another attempt to try to impeach or pre-impeach the president. They continue on with this rhetoric about the president inciting an insurrection, and yet no one was charged with insurrection on that day. No one's been charged with sedition or insurrection. Nope, no one. Trespassing. They're holding people as political prisoners right now, which is absolutely insane. This is, when you want to talk about, you know, they always talk about, well, this isn't a banana republic. You can't go after your political enemies. And that is exactly what they are doing. And again, hypocrisy is, you can't even use the word on these people because they just, it means nothing to them. They don't care. They get away with it. They don't have anybody calling them out. They are vaccinated against hypocrisy. They're just carriers of hypocrisy. They don't have they can't catch it. So Adam Schiff goes on with this whole thing. And he talks about, you know, just look, think back to the whole thing he's done. Everything he's done has constantly been, well, there's, the evidence is in plain sight. I've heard him say the evidence is in plain sight that President Trump, you know, undermined the country or whatever, what it broke the law, whatever it was he did with the whole Ukraine thing. I can't even remember what the whole thing was about, a phone call about something he said about he was trying to investigate somebody. You know, then Adam Schiff gets a phone call from some pranksters that say they're from Russia. They have information on President Trump, and he was all over that. But of course, that didn't count because, well, they were trying to prank me. They were setting me up. Just like Nancy Pelosi was set up by her hairdresser. They set me up. That was a setup. They set me up. You went to the hairdresser. You were the one walking around without a mask on. You were the one who decided to do all that. You didn't get entrapped into that. They didn't call you. You called them. So, you know, so here again, the FBI is involved. They got their wish to go after these text messages. Well, let's see what happens now when I guarantee you, when the Republicans get into office, you can look at all the people who basically should have been held in contempt of Congress. Holder. A lot of people in the Obama administration that never submitted to the congressional subpoenas. They're not in jail. They were never hauled off and perp walked like Steve Bannon and Mark Meadows have been. They never had their phones confiscated, gone through. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Steve Bannon. He's been very quiet about the whole thing, and I know he's basically said, "You've messed with the wrong guy. I'm going to come after you with everything I can." I don't know what he's going to do, but it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with his situation. He's not an unintelligent individual. However, when you're going up against the entire deep state, and he is, because the Dems, it's not just the politicians that are involved here. This is where paybacks come from. This is where the politicians get their power, because they play the game with the deep state, and the deep state comes through for them in the end in order to get them more looped into the more of the decisions that they make on behalf of the deep state. So it's all part of the game. It's just this back and forth thing. So that's what's happening right now. And the January 6th trials investigation is kind of an under-the-radar thing right now. The news media really isn't playing it up too much. Only on some of the, like Fox News and some of the others are, Newsmax and that kind of stuff, they're talking about it a little bit. Nobody's talking about this issue with Schiff actually blatantly changing the text message. Now, I haven't, I don't know what the actual, somebody throw out votes. You can see why this is so critical to ask Mr. Meadows about, let's see, about the lawmaker suggesting that the former vice president not only did Schiff lie about the substance of the text message and its source, he even doctored the message and graphic that he displayed on the screen during his statement. The full text message, which was forwarded to Meadows from Representative Jim Jordan, Representative Ohio, Republican Ohio, on the evening of Monday, January 5th, was significantly longer than what Schiff read and put on the screen. But Schiff erased significant portions of the text and added punctuation where there was none to give the impression that Jordan himself was tersely directing Meadows to give orders to Pence on how to handle the electoral vote certification. As if Meadows can give orders to Pence on what to do. The original text was written by Washington attorney and former Department of Defense Inspector General Joseph Schmidt, and included an attachment of a 4-page draft Word document drafted by Schmidt that detailed Schmidt's legal reasoning for suggesting that Pence had the constitutional authority to object to the certification of electoral votes submitted by the handful of states. The piece that Schmidt had sent to Jordan was published at the website everylegal.vote the next day. It even included the same discussion draft, heading and timestamp, on the document that Schmidt sent to Jordan. Yeah, so it didn't say what he said it said. I go through this whole thing and find the actual part of it. This is the problem with allowing the Democrats to get into your phone and your text messages. I wonder what we would find if we got into Eric Holder's phone and text messages that he was doing during his stint in the Obama administration. What would we find there, perhaps? What else might we find if we went back to 2015 and 2014 and got into Hillary Clinton's text messages? That, of course, she destroyed all of her phones. And what would happen if we, what was their attorney general, that lady that was attorney general? Yeah, I can't remember her name. I'm sure we would have found some things, you know, that, like the whole meeting on the tarmac there with Clinton during the Clinton investigation by the supposed James Comey doing his investigation there. It never amounted to anything. It was all theater again as well. Adam Schiff needs help. Okay, I feel sorry for the guy. He's got himself locked into a situation where it's like a drug for him almost. He has to make this happen. He has to show that Trump is the bad guy, and everybody who supports Trump, anybody who votes for Trump. Just like Don Lemon. Don Lemon really epitomized this the other day, a while back. He said, if you're aligning yourself with Trump, if you're voting for Trump, then you're voting with the people who, he said, you know, the people who favored Trump are the Nazis, the white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan. They support Trump. And he mentioned a couple others as well, a couple other groups. If you're aligning yourself with them, that's the group you're attaching yourself to. I bet we could find somebody, and the Nazis, think the Nazis. Yeah, I don't know if I said the Nazis. I think he said the Nazis. The Nazis, the KKK, and I think it was just the Nazis and the KKK. Because they can vilify people and make you feel, oh, I don't want to be a part of that group. I can find plenty of people out there that you would say are nefarious or that you wouldn't want to align with, i.e. the Unabomber was a nut and a fanatic for Al Gore. The guy who shot a bunch of congressmen on a ball field was a Bernie supporter. Are you aligning yourself with them? Is Bernie now aligned with them? Is that the way his supporters are? Are we going to throw all of them in that pigeonhole? This is, you know, when you get into this identity politic group thing, this is where it goes. So I have to say that I'm just a tad bit concerned about this whole investigation into January 6th because of the ridiculous nature of this thing. How in the world is this guy elected every time? And like I said, I'm not calling on him to be impeached. I'm not calling on him to be censored. Anything from Congress. What I'm calling on is the people who voted this guy into office to rise up and recall this poor soul who's obviously has a mental disorder. You can't find anybody else in your district to represent you but this guy. He is absolutely out of his mind. And I mean that. I mean, I've known people like this before. I can see it in his eyes and the way he acts and the way he talks. I have known people like this before. I have interacted with these kinds of individuals. There was one in particular that I'm thinking of that I've known as an adult, was on a city council board. The guy had, he was so full of himself and felt like all of his, everything he did was completely perfect and all of his recommendations were based on all this knowledge that he had. He was the most, he was the smartest person in the room. He was always the smartest person in the room, whatever room he was in. Unless he was in the bathroom, because I'm pretty sure there were some turds there that were smarter than him. But he was just a problem. He was a pompous, self-righteous individual who would just make stuff up. He would say things about whatever subject was on the docket. And he knew all about it. And he knew better than anybody else. And it was really, it was kind of, it went beyond annoying. Now, this particular council board meeting thing that he was on, he wasn't the head of it, so he didn't have a whole lot of power in the whole thing. But that being said, he was still a real problem. He was there for several years. But that's the kind of this, you know, Adam Schiff is that guy on steroids. I mean, you can imagine taking a guy like that and giving him all this power that Adam Schiff has, especially being, I think he's on the, what is it, the Judiciary Committee or the Investigation Committee or the Security Council or whatever he's on. Gives him the right to launch these investigations and do all this stuff. This guy is sick in the head. Absolutely sick in the head. It's Thursday, by the way. It's not even 4 o'clock, and here I am doing a show, Eastern Standard Time. Thursday, December 16th, 2021. The year is coming to an end. It's closing down. We've got a couple more weeks left. That'll be it. It will be over. So, it looks like I have a couple weeks left yet that I... tomorrow there will be another show. Tomorrow morning I'll have a show tomorrow morning early. I'm hoping to have a show tomorrow afternoon. I don't have a lot to do tomorrow evening. I do have some things I go to on Friday nights. I believe I will be able to get another show in tomorrow afternoon. But if I don't get one in tomorrow afternoon, I'm really kind of hoping to get one done Saturday morning, kind of as an addendum. I'm not sure what my Sunday is going to look like. I'd like to do one over the weekend at least. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, let us... another thing that I wanted to talk about. Apparently, Hillary Clinton is talking about a 2024 run. I guess there is some discussion about that. We'll see how this goes, but I guess she read the speech recently that she was supposed to read on her as her acceptance speech. And they were going to have confetti that was shaped like glass shards, I guess, because she broke the glass ceiling where she was supposed to speak. She had this weird victory speech thing she was going to do where she was going to talk about she could talk to her mother and tell her, you know, her daughter was president of the United States thing, whatever. Yeah, that's Hillary. And I guess there is some talk of her coming back for 2024. Can you imagine what kind of health issues she has already? I'm surprised she made it through the whole COVID thing. Who knows what that's all about. So, of course, I have to finish up by talking about COVID because, you know, that's That's what everybody's talking about. That's what I need to talk about because that's what everybody talks about. I just clicked on something and it went nuts. What just happened here? It was supposed to be an X there where it got supposed to get rid of this advertisement. I just clicked on the advertisement. American and Southwest Airlines CEOs want to end mask mandates aboard flights despite surge of new Omicron cases across the U.S. American Airlines CEO Doug Parker and Southwest CEO Gary Kelly testified on Wednesday that they do not believe masks should be required on airplanes anymore. I totally agree with that. Let's talk about the efficacy, the effectiveness of masks. They pointed out that airplanes are equipped with new air filtration technology that captures almost all airborne contamination. The cabin air is also often exchanged with fresh air from outside, usually about 30% at a time. Senator Ed Markey slammed their testimony as immoral. Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, also said she does not think the mask mandate should be ended because she's an idiot. The testimony comes as new cases of Omicron variant appear throughout the nation. Now, if you think that these two CEOs are stupid people, then, you know, okay. These aren't stupid individuals. They realize that unless everyone is wearing an N95 mask, the cloth fiber masks that everybody's wearing make no difference in the spread of this virus. How do we know that? Because the virus is still spreading. If masks worked, see, this is what really just makes me, I guess, furious. If the mask worked, then why are we still wearing masks 2 years later? Yeah. There's another report here. I was going to look into this. I wanted to actually look at this. I need to hear it before I actually talk about it. But the CEOs, the Senate hearing about the financial support airlines received in 2020 and 2021, Senator Roger Wicker, the ranking Republican on the Senate committee, asked American Airlines CEO Doug Parker and Southwest CEO Gary Kelly their thoughts on the federal government's mask mandate for flying. They were asked about it. They said, I think the case is very strong that masks don't add very much. If anything, in the air cabin environment, Kelly said, it is very safe and very high quality compared to any other indoor setting. Now, think about this. If it's going to spread, it's going to spread. You're going to be on an airplane with someone for over an hour. Even in a 15-minute flight, you get on the airplane, you board the flight, you get on, you sit there, shoulder to shoulder with the person next to you. People, you know, within 3 feet of you from front and back. Your heads are that far apart. You sit there waiting for the plane to take off, to leave the gate. Plane leaves the gate, it taxis around for a while. It launches into the air. Even on a short flight, 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is. By the time you get on the ground, taxi around, and get to the gate again, you've been next to those people for at least an hour. And you're telling me that there's no opportunity for things to whatever you've got to be slipping past that mask. Because the virus travels in water vapor, and water vapor goes right through the mask. I don't know if you've ever worn an actual N95 mask or not. I don't know who I'm talking to here, so I don't know who's listening. I have. I've worn one for a long time. Several hours while I was helping with an event. It was a food event. We were helping a fellow classmate of mine from high school. Having struggles, so we were trying to raise some money. He owns a restaurant, so So we did this little drive-through thing for him. All of our classmates showed up to help out. And we helped cook and serve food. And it was all carry out, of course. It was just a drive-through thing. People would call their order in. It was swamped with people. I mean, it literally for hours, people came in. Lines were backed up. They were backing up to the highway. And it was absolutely crazy. So we did all that and raised some funds. Some people didn't have time to go through the line, so they just gave us some money. So we have this situation here where, you know, I was wearing an N95 mask during that time. And the inside of that mask just got loaded with moisture. Because the N95, but even the N95 still leaks around your nose. It's fitted very well, but it cannot keep everything from going through it or around it. Especially in a working environment where you're talking and doing all kinds of other things. Now, it helps a great deal. A lot more than a cloth or a cotton mask. But still, it's not impervious and it's not perfect. We're still talking 20 to 30% efficacy, effectiveness probably. At best, at very best. It's in some cases, they found that there are certain kinds of masks that actually are worse. And here's why. Because as you breathe into that mask, the fibers there become soaked with water vapor. That water vapor can then, especially if you wear it very long or you don't wash it continuously, it develops bacteria. The bacteria then can get into your lungs. That's why we're having school kids now with all kinds of respiratory issues. There's some respiratory issues that are going around, just spreading rapidly in some of the larger cities with kids. Well, yeah, I wonder why that's happening. I've had them wear these masks over their face for 8 hours a day, every day, for the last 2 months. In some cases, they're wearing the same mask. It's turning green on the inside. Well, I wonder why they're getting sick. So that's what's kind of happening with that. But the whole COVID thing, these guys are just, they're basically saying what everybody knows, and yet they're getting called out about the whole thing. This other CEO that basically said, "I concur," said Parker, according to CNN. "An aircraft is the safest place you can be. It's true of all our aircraft," they said. They all have the same HEPA filters and airflow. Now, they got a picture here of people, crammed into this airplane with their masks on. It's so absolutely ridiculous. So Ed Markey, who knows it all, he slams the CEOs for suggesting the mask mandate should end. What is their goal here? This, again, they're looking for money. So now that Markey's going to slam them and say, "Oh, we're not going to give you any money if you don't keep the mask mandate going." Yeah. So here's where the Omicron variant is so far. Everywhere, that's where it's at. They're showing on this chart here. This is the fifth as of yesterday. Not yesterday morning. There are only, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 states that don't have Omicron yet. 15 out of 50. And I guarantee it's there. It's in every single one of those, including Alaska and Hawaii. They're all there. But I don't know if you realize this or not. Hawaii is an island, and it's on every single island. And yet, they have Omicron there. The change in Omicron cases over the past 2 weeks. This is a stupid chart. change in COVID-19 cases over the past 2 weeks. Florida has an 87% change in COVID. What does that mean? What does that even mean? I mean, the numbers have gone down 87%. I think D.C. and New York, over here in the East Coast, it's up in, holy cow, 196%. 95%, 90%, 88%, 91%. I'd say that's pretty high. Yeah. We have South Carolina, looks like 86%. California, 50%, of course, and Oregon, 21%. So now they're doing this percentage of change. Michigan, 5% change. Here's the problem with that. Michigan has one of the highest rates. See, this is such a phony chart. They do this kind of stuff all the time. They put numbers out like this. The change in COVID-19 cases over the past 2 weeks. What is that even supposed to mean? Of course, the higher the percentage, the more red that becomes. It's the blue that you want. Like there's like a 16% change in North Dakota. Minnesota's 40%. Negative 40%, negative 16%, negative 17%, negative 2%. Does that mean it's down 17%? I guess that means it's down 17%. These others are all increasing. But then, of course, they don't give you the timeline of that either. They don't say over the last 30 days. I guess they do say 2 weeks. So it's 2 weeks. The Omicron COVID variant, where it was spotted. Only place it supposedly isn't here yet is Iceland. It's all over Africa, all over South America, Australia, New Zealand. Looks like pretty much everywhere. It's just everywhere. Yeah. Gee, imagine that. Dr. Greg Poland, top epidemiologist, the Mayo Clinic, told DailyMail.com that the variant is likely spreading so fast across the U.S. that the country's genetic sequencing infrastructure cannot keep up with it. What does that even mean? We do so little sequencing that we really don't have a good idea of Omicron epidemiology, at least at the local level, he said. So there you go. There you have it. That's kind of the news, according to me. Let's see if there's any other headlines that are interesting here. I'm going to go back to this thing here and refresh this page and see if anything's come up. Make-A-Wish Foundation denies a wish for a dying four-year-old over vaccine status. Think about that for a second. This child is dying. He's 4 years old. A virus that basically does not even affect anyone other than themselves. He's dying from something else, by the way. He's not dying from COVID. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation will not grant his wish because he's not vaccinated. That, I would say, is pretty much insanity right there. That is just that's insanity. That's what that is. That is somebody who's really hilarious, that just the hysteria over this thing, that's pretty much explains the hysteria over this thing, or that's a good example of the kind of hysteria we have right now. Google promises to fire all unvaccinated employees within the next six months. Gee, I'm glad they're promising that. Biden's vaccine mandate poised to disseminate the military. They are losing people in the military, by the way. They are starting to purge it already. It's not going to end. I know of a company myself. I happen to know a company that is now looking at offering a. They're going to have a drawing for $1,000. Everyone who's vaccinated is going to be in the drawing. You're going to get $1,000. By the way, hopefully you didn't take the J&J, because now that one's under a lot of scrutiny about some very serious issues. By the way. Now, who knows whether the others will be as well, I don't know who's backing the study into the J&J vaccine. Probably some competitors. Pfizer, possibly. This is a power game among the pharmaceutical company. Big Pharma is just as big, if not bigger, as the military-industrial complex. In fact, I'd say their profit margins are higher. They have a, it's very easier for, well, not necessarily profit margin, but their total profits in a year are much higher. They're bilking the American people directly, whereas the military-industrial complex is beholden to the government contracts. They don't have as many contracts with private companies or private individuals, whereas the pharmaceuticals make their money directly from consumers. Well, distributors and marketing people, that's it's all part of that whole thing, but they sell product. You know, that's what they call it in the biz, product. Whether you're selling crack cocaine or whatever you're selling, but it's product. That's what they call it. So there you have it. That's the news according to me today on a Thursday. I keep thinking it's Friday. This is weird. So I'm just going to end it here because I have other things to do, sadly. Much as I like just going on and rambling on. We have, today's show was brought to you by me. Yeah, so if you wouldn't mind liking this podcast or downloading it, you can delete it. What if you're down? You can download it and then delete it if you want to. I don't care. But leave a like, share it, whatever you want to do. Talk about it. Share it with your friends. Click on it a couple times, a couple different computers. Download it a few times. That helps me out. I'm not asking for any money. I just like to see the statistics go up. It always makes my day. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. Have a great night. Peace.